Right. For those who don't know me, and we're recording everything tonight over our three events so that they are available for everybody. And we want them to be available for people in our Presbyterian churches right across the state. My name is Brian Harvey. I'm the Youth Ministries Director in the Presbyterian Church. I've been involved in full-time ministry since I was ordained when I was 25. And I'll share some of my early youth ministry stories later on. But since then, in my ministry life, I've had a great desire to see young people connecting with the church, young people connecting with faith and growing in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. That hasn't always worked. It hasn't always been an absolute winner, but it's been my great desire to see that happen. I spent 15 years in the Salvation Army, in churches, and then as a denominational youth leader before coming into the Presbyterian Church, where my first task in the Presbyterian Church in Victoria was as youth pastor at Surrey Hills for 2 years, which was fantastic. I loved it. I love those people. I love that church. I'd love to get back there at times. And then at Warburton for a few years in ministry, and now my role as the Youth Ministries Director. My hope, through the three training events that we've planned for this year, for the remaining part of this year, and looking into next year, is to provide opportunities for people from across the state to get together, to hear some, I hope, useful teaching, but also to give the opportunity just to meet together, to ask the questions that you want to ask about youth ministry, and we who have some experience in that might be able to help you. You'll also get to hear about some excellent books that are key for youth ministry today. There are some great youth ministry books that were written 20 or 30 years ago. They're kind of out of date now. It's good to be reading some contemporary stuff. So let's begin. We'll begin with a prayer, and then we'll share what I have to share. Our loving Lord God, thank you for the church. Thank you for that calling together of people to worship you, to encourage each other in faith, to find help and hope together. But Lord, we recognize that the church is much more than just a gathering of people, because it is your bride, because the church is a group of people who are made holy and being made holy by you. And so, Lord, as we take our part in that church, as we take our part in this denomination, I pray that you will help us to be faithful to you, faithful to your calling, and faithful to your word. Help us to help young people to find grace in Jesus Christ. Help us this night, Lord, I pray in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, the importance of purpose. I think having a purpose for what you're doing is actually really important. And so while I know we all kind of know each other and everybody is mostly sitting in their church groups, as you do, I want you to turn to the person next to you or behind you or whatever it might be and answer the question, why does your church exist? Or ask that question to the person next to you. Why does your church exist? And this isn't a history lesson. I'm not so much interested in who planted the church or what's happened in the history. But I am interested in why the church exists now. Ask the question, why does your church exist? And then we'll share and hear some answers. Go. You've got 2 minutes. Maybe less.
Yeah.
Okay, let's draw it together. Let's draw it together. And who would like to answer the question about why? Not, don't tell me why your church exists. Tell us why the person you were talking to. Why does their church exist? And speak loudly so you'll be picked up on the microphone. Who wants to tell us something? I know everybody's name in this room. So don't be afraid.
Peace Month exists, just here, to be a light to the community, to support each other, worshipping God. That's it.
Yep. Good. Thank you. Who else?
Cameron said making disciples and growing them in their faith. Is that
nurturing?
Yeah,
nurturing. Yeah. Good. Anyone else?
I agree.
Did you get the same answer though?
Wrong.
Wrong. What?
At the back of, you know, behind the preacher is the to know Christ and make him known.
Yep.
You know, that's sort of the hashtag thing.
Which is good. Which is not a bad thing, and I'll make mention of those kinds of things. Interestingly, that does not appear on the church's website. I'll just leave that with the people who are not allowed to know that.
Our website's very
One more.
To glorify God.
To glorify God. Simple and concise. Okay. Well, here I'm talking about the importance of purpose. And when you hear words like purpose, mission, vision, statements, objectives, all those things, all of that can become confusing. It has for me. I've sat through any number of leadership lectures and classes and conferences and found it really confusing. Some leaders love it and they define it clearly. They might say that vision is what we want to achieve and mission is how we get there. So the mission statement describes how we get there, which sounds great. Until you read another book on leadership or attend another conference and get a different perspective. Purpose is what we aim to achieve, and our objectives are how we do it. And I confess to you that I get lost on it all. And so one church I know, they had, you know, the simple purpose statement and then the page-long mission statement and then the four pages of objectives. And about halfway through the third page, I had no idea what this church was aiming to do. It was a little too long. Give me a simple statement on what you're doing, and I'll be able to understand why your organisation exists. And you can keep your other statements to yourself. So when I see the Don Vale, to know Christ and to make him known, or North Geelong on their website say that our primary mission is to make disciples who make disciples. When I see a simple statement like that, I get it. I get it. Just give me a simple purpose statement. Define for me simply and clearly what you're aiming to do and I'll get it. Now, I'm going to talk about defining a purpose for ministry to youth. And I know that for a number of Christians, the thought of defining a purpose in ministry can seem all about business management and can seem unbiblical. And some might even quote Paul the Apostle when he wrote, "I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some." Does that verse dismiss the need for a purpose statement or the value of a purpose statement. I don't think so. I think that's misunderstanding what Paul is doing. There are other statements from Paul in his writings, and as you read the letters and you get an idea of what Paul was about, that make clear he had a very strong purpose in what he was doing. He had a really strong task in what he was aiming to achieve, and he wouldn't be distracted from that. We'll return to the Bible shortly, but before I do that, here are a few reasons that having a clear purpose for ministry is incredibly helpful. Firstly, having a purpose helps us to get on track. Now, we talk about all that we want to achieve as Christians and in the church, but defining that purpose helps us to get on the right track, to get on the right bus. So to help clarify what is right and what is wrong, here are some wrong reasons for ministry to youth. Firstly, to get youth off the street. I suggest to you that that is a bad reason to start up a youth group. My life in full-time ministry began at the Salvation Army in Stawell in Western Victoria. I had a desire to see youth ministry begin in a church that had no youth, in the congregation, but I'd also learned that it is important not to do everything yourself. So, when the young adult son of one of the members told me that he and his girlfriend wanted to do something for youth of Stawell, I jumped at the chance, and after some discussion, some planning, we announced that a youth group, Club Y we called it, because that was a cool name, way back then, that we would be open on Friday night at the Salvos. It was fantastic. We made the front page of the newspaper. It was that good. Yeah. Now, before we began, it was me and Darren, and his girlfriend bailed out. So that just left the two of us, which just meant it was two guys trying to start off some youth ministry to attract and connect with all the kids in Stawell, or a chunk of them anyway. While I would say that we had a desire to connect these young people with the gospel, we were really aiming to give kids something to do on a Friday night. And on the first night, it all went terribly wrong. Most youth ministers have one of these horror stories, at least one of these horror stories. This is mine. In the backyard of the church in Stawell, the Salvation Army Church in Stawell, was an apple tree, which was not in full fruit, but fruit was growing, and it was just the handy size to throw at people. Teenage boys, an apple tree, what could happen? You know what happened. The boys pretty much stripped the tree of every bit of fruit that they could find. They threw them at each other. They threw them across the back fence as far as they could. They had no idea where they were landing. They were just throwing them. The next morning, I had a call from a very angry senior lady who lived in the street behind the church, who had her shed pelted with apples through the night. That didn't help her sleep. It certainly didn't make her feel calm. Didn't make me feel real good either. But that wasn't the worst thing. The boys, and they were mostly boys, and there's something there about having an all-male team, an all-female team, that impacts what your group becomes. They began their apple wars around the building. And after they went out onto the street, we didn't have our own car park or our own large property like that. After they went out onto the street, one of the boys came back in with a cut right across his cheek. He had, in trying to run away, he had tripped over the gutter and fallen over to one of the low street signs, low arrow signs. So he asked me to take him home, which I did, which now breaks every rule that you do now. It was back in the day. He asked me to take him home, which I did. And when I said, do you want me to come and explain to your parents what's happened? He said, no, I'll be all right. So, okay. So I drive back to the church, wondering what I'm going to find when I get back there. 10 minutes later, this kid's dad turns up. Demanding to know what had happened, because, and it never crossed my mind, he said, it looks like my son has been slashed with a knife across his cheek. That kid never came back. That kid never came back to youth group. Some of the other kids, yeah, they kept coming back, and we made some good friendships. I don't know that any of them were impacted with the gospel, and I would say that we failed in what we were aiming to do. So getting kids off the street might seem like a noble effort, and if that's what you want to do, then do that. But don't do that within the church. Do that where other organisations, that is their goal and that's their aim. Join the Scouts, join the footy club, join the local council youth group, youth work. Do that kind of stuff and try to be a Christian influence there. But if this is your goal in youth ministry, you won't impact teenagers for the kingdom of God. So getting kids off the street, I'm going to suggest, is a bad desire for youth ministry. Another one is to give youth something to do. If that is your goal, if that is your aim, then you don't understand teenagers. Kids today are doing too much. Teenagers today have so much more expectation placed on them to do well at school, and so they are working much harder and much longer than certainly my generation did at school. And that is not just because I didn't do so well at school, that's just reality. Teenagers have much higher expectations on them today. Add to that, most of them are involved in out-of-school activities, and very few are involved in just one. So they're involved in at least two, often more. Music, dancing, basketball, soccer, practice and games, all the other activities that they do, swimming, etc. And the last thing they need from church is just something else to do. I've been listening to a lecture by Dr. Andrew Root, a great writer on youth ministry. And in this lecture, he talks about another pastor, a friend of his, who was on a plane talking with a bloke he was sitting next to, who must have asked the dangerous question, so, what do you do? Oh, I'm a pastor. Oh, don't talk to me anymore. Anyway, the pastor says to him, so, do you go to church? And this guy says, well, strange you should ask, because just last week, my wife, myself, our three kids, we realised that we are just way too busy. There is just way too much happening in our lives. And so we got together, we wrote everything down on the whiteboard, everything that we're involved in, all the activities, all the sporting stuff, all the community stuff, work, school, wrote it all down, and decided we need to cut some stuff. And church was one of the things that they cut. Now, we might hear that and say, how can you do that? You're going to be a Christian family and you're going to cut that out? But why add busyness into people's lives? Don't think you can just give kids something to do. Why would families urge their children to keep coming to something if there is no benefit to it, whatever benefit that might be? The darker side of this, then, the desire to give you something to do, the darker side is to make sure that your activities keep getting better and better and bigger. I want to share with you quickly a story from Giving Up Gimmicks by Brian Cosby. He says, I love eating sushi, but it's quite different from eating a live goldfish. I sat near the back of the crowd and watched with a curious seasickness, gazing at the teenage wonder while keeping one eye on the nearest trash can. A loud, unified chant shook the entire room. Marcus! Marcus! And down it went, to the praise of the cheering youth. He was the envy of every guy and the disgust of every girl. The champion collected his prizes and walked off the stage with a hero notch on his belt. So what can we do next week? I thought to myself. There's no way I can top eating a live goldfish. I was helping out with the youth program at the time, and we had been gradually escalating the shock factor to attract more youth. And for all intents and purposes, it seemed to work. But we began to run out of ideas and started getting desperate. The youth seemed bored, and we had to think of something fast. We didn't have much money in our youth budget, so we decided to be good stewards and spend the rest of it on bringing a Christian rock band to the church. Whether that's good stewards or not, I don't know. The band arrived, set up, and did a sound check from a stage in the church gym. They even had choreographed dancing. I was pumped. The youth are going to love this, I thought out loud. To my great horror and disbelief, only 8 youth came. They stood lined up in a row with folded arms, listening to the thumping noise echoing around the vacant gym. And if any of you have played in a band to an empty hall, you'll know just how that feels. He says, I couldn't take it anymore. There had to be something that nourished youth more than a wiggling goldfish and a high-priced band. If your purpose is to give kids something to do or to just entertain them, then good luck to you. You cannot compete with the Avengers. You cannot compete with so much that is set to entertain. Maybe your purpose is to introduce boys to nice girls, or girls to nice boys. Look, there is so much wrong with this expectation. It may happen, and that's wonderful, and we're not going to say that's a bad thing at all. But if this is a main hope and purpose, if this is the main hope and purpose for your youth group, I don't want my kids coming to your youth group, because I'm not sure what you're actually getting kids to do. Don't read anything more into that. Or to keep Christian youth away from non-Christian youth. Very few Christian youth leaders would define this as their aim and purpose in youth ministry. I know that. But it can too easily work out that way. Christian teenagers, or at least those from church families, are difficult and messy enough. But teenagers from outside the church, that's just a whole different level of messiness and awkwardness. It's easier to work with Christian kids, not just because they don't ask the difficult questions that non-Christian kids will. But if our aim is to keep Christian kids away from non-Christian kids, we develop a ghetto. And we develop a group who cannot relate their faith to the world around them. Segregation is... There is nothing good in complete segregation. I had a comment about ratio. Ratio of Christian youth to non-Christian youth in a youth group. In my training for ministry, I spent a couple of months at the Salvos in Ararat, and we had a pretty dynamic youth group there, or what I would have thought then was a pretty dynamic youth group. One of the denominational leaders came to visit me in my training and see how things were going, and we spoke about the youth group, and I was explaining what it was like. It was fun, it was noisy, it was loud, it was great. And he expressed some concerns that, you know, the ratio was so many non-Christians and so few Christian kids in the youth group. And I, in my brash youthness, said, no, this is great. Look at all these people we can convert and see saved for the kingdom. Well, 20 years later, and I think he was right, what I saw there was the non-Christian kids influencing the Christian kids more than the other way around. I am absolutely all for non-Christian kids coming to youth group. I want to see that happen. I hear some of you talk. I know you want to see that happen too. But there's something about the ratio and keeping that with a larger group of Christian kids so that they can help answer the questions for those non-Christian kids as well. So, why have a purpose? Purpose helps us to get on track. Importantly, purpose also helps us to stay on track. I'll just say here that everything I say tonight, or most everything I say tonight, is not unique to youth ministry. It's about ministry. And whether that's ministry in a youth context, or ministry in a children's context, or ministry in an adult, women's, men's, whole community context, these things should all work. Purpose helps us to stay on track. We nail down what we're aiming to do, and having that clear helps us to stay on track. Why is that important? Because every organisation will lose its way over time. Every organisation will lose its way over time. We may edit this out of the recording, but there's a reason I no longer work with the Salvation Army. Every organisation loses its way over time. My perception is that they have. I hope I'm wrong. Having a strong and essential purpose that you keep coming back to helps you to avoid losing your purpose, losing track. In February this year, 2014, a book titled Mission Drift was published. And an article from the authors reveals a tale of two Presbyterian ministers and the organisations they founded. I see the title, Two Presbyterian Ministers. Hey, I'm excited to hear what have they done that's good for the world. Both of these organisations deal with child sponsorship. Both were created in response to the way children suffered after war and conflict. Both organisations have grown beyond their initial bounds, meaning they work in more countries now than they were originally established to do. Both were founded on Christian principles, and both had the work of Christ as central to their mission. But only one of these is still connected to Christianity. China Children's Fund was established in 1938, changed its name a bit later to Christian Children's Fund when their work was more than just China. It is now known as Child Fund International. Its president, Anne Goddard, acknowledged the change in the identity of the organisation. An organisation changes slowly, and then all of a sudden you realise the changes have happened so much that you need to step back and see if you are putting out the name that really reflects who you are. Now, her saying that will mean something. Me reading it means you have completely lost the foundations on which you were established. Still doing great work to help people, still looking after children. Children are fundamental to what they do. But they've lost something key in the foundation. The other one, Compassion International, was established a decade later after the Korean War left children in a hopeless state. And while continuing to help and support children across the world, they have not lost sight of the original purpose. Wes Stafford, the retiring president of Compassion, said this. I'm not sure why there's a link in the middle there, but I can think of many Christian organizations that have lost their spiritual commitment. Any leader who inherits a strong Christian commitment must shepherd the culture and steward that commitment. Hear those words. Hear those words for church. Some of you will be elders in your church. You will all be key influencing people. How will you influence the culture of your church? Any leader who inherits a strong Christian commitment must shepherd the culture and steward that commitment. Now, while your youth ministry may seem much smaller than these organizations, the concept is the same. Determining the foundation and purpose is vital, or you'll go from week to week just doing stuff and hoping something will stick. But the cause of Jesus Christ needs more than just that. So, there's reasons to have a purpose. Some things you should not be looking at as your main purpose. But how do you determine your purpose? How do you get there? Well, I want to encourage you to forget the phrase youth ministry, even though I might use it a lot, and instead think of ministry in a youth context. It's a slight but a significant difference. Ministry in a youth context. I mentioned Dr. Andrew Root earlier. Here's a quote from him. The purpose of youth ministry is to invite both young and old to participate in God's action. Youth ministry, like all ministry, seeks in humility to be swept up into God's own action and therefore to participate in God's activity in our world. Youth ministry could be defined as the ministry of the church that seeks to participate in God's action with and for a culturally identified group called adolescents. He goes on to say, that means it's every bit as theological as every other area of ministry, but it is focused on the actions of God with and for young people. Focused on the action of God with and for young people. Now, if we want to make our purpose connected to the action of God, how do we find out what the action of God is? It won't surprise you to say, for me to say, we start with the Bible. And here are some questions for you. What does the Bible say about Jesus? You don't have to answer that question because it says a lot about Jesus. But I'm going to suggest to you, and there are some verses I'll put up here, that here are some key statements as to what the Bible says about Jesus, what the Bible says about his disciples, and what the Bible says about the church that we can look at and from then, from these verses, glean our purpose, the purpose for our ministry. And so what does the Bible say about Jesus? A lot. Here's just a couple of statements. The trustworthy saying that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And in Luke, it's recorded, the Son of Man, Jesus, came eating and drinking, and you say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. I'm not suggesting that we should be gluttons and drunkards. It's more the friends of sinners that attracts me to that statement. Maybe I should have chosen a different verse. What does the Bible say about his disciples? Again, the Bible says much about what it is to be a follower of God and a disciple of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 22, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. But that is then connected to love your neighbour as yourself. Both of these are important as disciples of Jesus Christ. Both of these are important. And then in Matthew 28, this verse that most of you will know well, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, so go, make disciples, baptising them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Now, if you want to hear another excellent message about the purpose of ministry to youth based on this verse, look up Tim Hawkins from Sydney and hear him speak passionately about this task in youth ministry. So disciples have a role to play, to love God and to love our neighbour. To make disciples, not our disciples, but disciples of Jesus. And we can do that in his strength, not in our own. What does the Bible say then about the church? Again, the Bible says a lot about the church. Here is one of them. It was he, that's Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Here are these lists of words that describe who we are and what we are and our aim, to prepare God's people. Importantly, is this. When Paul writes to Timothy, Paul the senior writing to Timothy the junior, the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, so there's nothing secret here, it can be checked up, the things you've heard me say, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. It goes back to North Geelong's statement. making disciples who will make disciples. Entrust it to reliable men so that they will pass it on and teach others, to teach others, to teach others. In youth ministry, in the context of ministry to youth, this is important because there are very few of us who spend decades in youth ministry. If you're there for 5 years, make the most of that 5 years. Make it as impacting as you possibly can. But remember, there's someone else coming behind you who needs to know where to go. Give them direction. Give them a place to go. The passages that I've put up here, and there will be others, I'd suggest that you read them. There'll be more. Highlight some key words and phrases that describe God's purpose for ministry. See the verses that describe God's purpose for ministry. Of course, spend time praying through this process. And with those words together, and I would suggest to you, if you've got a youth leadership team, do this as part of that team. If your church has gone through this process and the church as a whole has that purpose, then you as a youth ministry want to be aligned to that purpose. Please do not set yourself up as a rival church. There is nothing good in that. Yes, and then put the words and phrases together into a succinct phrase that you can work with. And it might be something as to know Christ and to make him known, or to make disciples who make disciples. It might be something as simple as that. It may be a few words longer, but nothing too long. As I come to conclude, I want to give you a word of warning though. Here are some things to remember. You will be challenged to change your purpose. At some point, you will be challenged to change it. Parents will ask you to change what you are doing to suit them or their children. Elders won't understand why you're not just playing games. People in the church won't get what you're hoping to achieve. I want to urge you, do everything you can to stay on track. Do everything you can to stay on course. When you leave, things will change. Here is the harsh reality of humanity and that human aspect of the church. And particularly when you're in youth ministry, because they grow up and they move out. And another batch grow up and move in. Things change. And when you leave to take on another area of ministry, or you leave because you have to leave the area, someone else comes in and they bring their own talents and their own abilities. When you leave, things will change. So prepare yourself for that. And develop leaders who will keep the vision going and will continue to train others in that vision. The last thing here is to remember that nothing is concrete. And once you've nailed down a purpose, you know, there might be a time when you need to review it. For myself, with PYV, we've done that. We've looked at our purpose statement and found it works. But it's good to review it every now and then and make sure you're still there. So to conclude, in all areas of ministry, we can easily become a social club meeting in a church building. Any area of ministry, we can easily become that. It's setting a strong purpose statement and keeping that in front of you that will help you to start and to continue to be a group with a Christian focus. But more than that, it is the work of the Holy Spirit that will help you to begin and to continue on the right track. I urge you to consider the importance of purpose as something important for your youth ministry. Thank you for listening to all of that. I hope you find it helpful. I'm going to pray. We're going to have some supper together. And while we're having supper, I've got some some paper over here. Many of you already have a pen. If you want to write down a question after supper break, we're going to have a book review. And I'll introduce Jonathan before that. And then myself, Cameron and Lily will form up here as a little panel. And we'll be happy to ask all your in-depth questions. What did I say? It's reverse Q&A. We'll do that. We will do that. Let me pray. Our loving God, I thank you again that all those years ago, you sat before your disciples and you said to them, go. Go and make disciples and do it in my name. I thank you that for 2,000 years, men and women of all ages, young, old, of all health, of all finances, poverty, rich, that the people have gone and done that. As we take our part in that chain, help us not to be that weakest link. But may we, by your Spirit, taking your purpose, go and make disciples. Lord, we ask this, not for the growth of our churches, not that we'll be known as great youth leaders, but we pray it for the kingdom's sake. Be glorified in us, Lord. I pray in your precious name. Amen. Our thanks to the Heathmont Presbyterian Church for looking after us tonight and giving us some supper. And I think they're even going to bring it in here, so it's a nice warm room. Thank you very much.